All right, we will be on the record for our last matter of the day. Mr. Carr, on behalf of PERS, do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, may I please reserve 2 minutes? Thank you.
Three?
2 minutes.
Two, okay. 2 minutes, yes, sir. All right, you can go ahead and approach the podium and get started whenever you're ready.
Good afternoon, honorable justices, and may it please the court. For the purposes of this argument, I will refer to my client, Public Employees Retirement System of Nevada, as PERS or the system. PERS would respectfully request that the court reverse the decision of the district court. I'll start off by dispelling a myth implied by the association's answering brief that the Retirement Board Official Policy 1.19 inhibits or thwarts or nullifies collective bargaining. It's not true. The association members still receive their holiday pay premiums as bargained for between employer and employee. The official policy 1.19 does not deny in any way the association's members the benefit of the bargain. What the associations can't do is bargain to change retirement rules. And if we step back and we examine this issue from a contractual perspective, it makes intuitive sense that employers and employees cannot negotiate or consummate a contract that nullifies or supersedes the authority of a non-party to the agreement.
Does the statute, though, give folks the ability to collectively bargain holidays?
Yes, Your Honor. Certainly that's the text of NRS Chapter 288, Section 150, that a mandatory subject of collective bargaining is holidays, without context. Certainly the association's position is a selective reading, a reading in isolation, because we know that holiday is a defined term of art, as prescribed by the Nevada legislature. That's NRS Chapter 236. The Nevada legislature saw fit to dedicate an entire chapter of the NRS to defining what a holiday is. So for the associations to read NRS Chapter 288 and its isolated mention of holiday to allow them to appropriate for themselves the power to designate new holidays is in complete derogation of NRS Chapter 236.
Well, let me just ask you this. So yeah, NRS 236.015 defines legal holidays. The CBA and just allows the members to collectively bargain for holidays without the qualifier of legal holidays. And just as an aside, we would all agree that Juneteenth is a legal holiday, and that's going to be plucked out of this.
Yes, absolutely, Justice Lee, with the enactment of Assembly Bill 140 from the last session.
So we're setting aside.
We'll get to that in a second. Go ahead.
Okay, so we're setting aside Juneteenth. So for the other two designated collectively bargain for holidays, The word legal was interjected by PERS in their policy 1.9, but there's nothing that requires the additional. So the additional payment under 286.025, where compensation is defined, it says work performed on a holiday, and it doesn't have a qualifier for legal. So what are we to make of that?
Absolutely, Your Honor. The reference under 286.025, the definition of compensation references payment for work performed on a holiday. We know from reference back to NRS Chapter 236 that a holiday is specifically enumerated. It's among the 10, now 11 legal holidays with the enactment of Juneteenth, legitimately authorized by the Nevada legislature. So indeed, a holiday is a defined term of art. And that is the term of art set forth by the legislature. So certainly, as we've discussed, the associations bargain for these non-NRS, non-Chapter 236 holidays. Their bargaining isn't being defeated or thwarted. These holiday premiums are being paid. And that was recognized by the court's online synopsis of this case implicitly, that holiday premiums are being exchanged among employers and employees. Yet they can't override the prerogative of PERS to govern the retirement system. And that brings us to the gravamen of this case, which is governance. The Nevada Constitution allocates the authority to govern the retirement system to the retirement board. And that's Article 9, Section 2, Clause 4. The public employee's retirement system must be governed by a retirement board. Now, if we accept the association's position that they can bargain for non-NRS Chapter 236 holidays and not only pay the premiums pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement, but also force PERS to recognize those as retirement.
Does PERS have to recognize other negotiated contributions for things like additional payments, shift differentials, work and graveyard shifts, things of that nature? Why is there, and these are clearly negotiable provisions that PERS is bound to apply in its administration of the system, why should this be any different?
Yes, Your Honor. Those are enumerated forms of compensation under NRS Chapter 286, Section 025.
That are bargained for.
That are bargained for. Mm-hmm. The distinction in this instance is that holidays are uniform across all employees. They're set by the Nevada legislature, NRS Chapter 236. The distinction with the other forms of additional payment is that they may be specific to employer. They may be specific to position. They may be specific to shift and various other characteristics or attributes that are unique to any particular employer, employee group, position, or worker, whereas holidays are uniform. Now, the association's position here brings us to a fundamentally absurd outcome in the sense of if the associations can collectively bargain and alter the retirement rules set forth by the retirement board, have they not made the retirement board illusory? Have they not stripped the retirement board of its authority as allocated by the Nevada Constitution?
Well, I mean, not any more so than if the employer is negotiating shift differential pay. I don't understand that. It's really not in the employer's best interest to have a whole bunch of holidays where they have to pay people double, right? So, I don't feel like we're going to have a spate of, and we're talking about New Year's Eve and Christmas, we're not talking about like made up holidays, but I don't think we're going to have this big run of extra days that are being designated as holidays.
And certainly, Your Honor, to address your concern, if the associations can indeed make these non-NRS holidays retirement compensable, what is stopping them? They've bargained for New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve. How can they be restrained, if not the retirement board, from bargaining for more holidays, increase the number of compensable holidays from 11 to 12 to 13 to 20 to 25? And that's going to make a big difference in underlying average compensation for the purposes of a final pension benefit. So certainly they're altering the benefit formula by creating additional holidays beyond the uniform roster.
It's also going to make a big difference in their budget. So, I feel like the practical realities of the employer-employee bargaining relationship would really prevent that from happening, right?
And, Your Honor, this goes to a financial concern in the sense of if bargaining units represented by labor associations can bargain for these divergent slates of holidays, perhaps they won't increase the number of holidays beyond a certain threshold, but perhaps they will. And certainly you encounter a situation.
Here we're talking about, okay, so every police officer in the state of Nevada has to work on New Year's Eve, right? I mean, it's very few people get New Year's Eve off. And it's a big sacrifice they make, right? And that's something that was recognized in the collective bargaining. This doesn't seem like some abuse of the collective bargaining process that allows specifically to bargain for holidays.
And Your Honor, certainly to that concern, given the New Year's Eve situation, the Christmas Eve situation, they are being denied the benefit of the bargain. They're being paid a premium. But PERS cannot be forced to recognize that as retirement compensable. And the reason is, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That's okay.
The reason being that PERS is an actuarial system, a contributory system, where all the participants will remit the contributions to the same fund. Imagine the police fire members that are subject to these differing slates of collective bargaining agreements. Some may have more holidays, some may have less holidays. Those that are receiving a richer benefit, a better slate of holidays, are paying the same contribution rate as those that are not. It's fundamentally inequitable.
But how is that different than some people get a shift differential and some people don't?
And certainly, Your Honor, that's employer specific. If the subject employees move to a different employer, they can enjoy the benefit of that bargain. That's bargained for. Holidays are uniform. Holidays are across the board, NRS Chapter 236.
That doesn't tell me what the difference is.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Let's talk about Juneteenth for a second. So the statute 236.015 says any day that may be appointed by the President of the United States as a legal holiday. So when Juneteenth was signed into federal holiday, it became a holiday. It was actually a holiday here. It just happened to be on the weekends. It was on a Saturday and a Sunday, as I recall, the first 2 years. And so under our statute, it was a holiday. What the legislature did was make it so it could be observed on a Monday or a Friday if it didn't fall, you know, if it fell on a non-work day.
Your Honor, certainly the distinction regarding Juneteenth being a federal holiday, PERS would submit that also Columbus Day is a federal holiday. So
the Nevada legislature has specifically moved Columbus Day into the, when they replaced it with Martin Luther King Day in the 90s, they moved it to the subsection of the statute that has, there's a bunch of days we recognize that are not legal holidays. So they moved it to a different spot in the statute. So it's clearly recognized there. But if Juneteenth wasn't a holiday whenever it became a federal holiday, I mean, what does that mean? What does that section of the statute mean?
Your Honor, it's my understanding that that catch-all provision, which I think Your Honor is referring to, the NRS Chapter 236.015, subsection 1, I believe that refers to federal office closures for presidential deaths. I believe that has occurred for the death of President Ford.
I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to tell me what you think it means. Any day that may be appointed by the President of the United States for public fast doesn't apply. Thanksgiving doesn't apply. Or as a legal holiday, which is what happened with Juneteenth.
Yes, Your Honor. Juneteenth became a legal holiday by act of Congress, not by presidential proclamation. And we see that under NRS Chapter 236, the distinction that Your Honor recognized is that there are holidays, NRS 236, Section 015. Below them are proclamation days. Those are purely ceremonial. They do not dictate an office closure. So that's the distinction, Your Honor. Certainly there are holidays, there are proclamation days.
Let me go back to something you said a moment ago, that you believe that it's unfair if an organization negotiates holidays for its employees that other public employees aren't entitled to get.
Right. Absolutely, Your Honor. It's fundamentally
is that the root of PERS's objection to this whole thing?
Yes, Your Honor. A primary objection, among others.
But that's just the nature of collective bargaining, right? An organization collectively bargains for something and gets agreement, and so any organization can bargain if they want. And the legislature has outlined the ability for this collective bargaining to occur, and had the legislature wanted to declare it as a legal holiday, because they certainly know how to use the word legal, would they not have included that in the statutes?
Your Honor, far be it from me to divine the legislative intent. When we have the plain language of the statute, we have the legal holiday set forth in NRS Chapter 236. And
but you keep saying 236. 236 uses the term legal holiday. 286 doesn't use the term legal. 288.150 doesn't use the term legal. So, right. And I agree with you. We look at the plain language before we go anywhere else. And if it doesn't say legal, there's obviously a distinction there.
Your Honor, there is a distinction, and certainly that's recognized by the Retirement Board, creating the regulation that binds the compensable holidays to those legal holidays. And the Retirement Board has that prerogative. It segues into the secondary argument that the board has the statutory authority to constrain these holidays for tax purposes.
Can the board prevent somebody from collectively bargaining shift differential pay?
Your Honor, in the sense of it being retirement compensable. If a shift differential exceeds the parameters set by the board, certainly the pay can be exchanged as a premium between the employers and the employees. PERS doesn't have to recognize that unlawful premium as retirement compensable. And I see that my time is dwindling. I want to thank the court, and I want to respectfully request that the court reverse the decision of the district court. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. Adam Levine on behalf of the Police Managers and Supervisors Association, which are the represents the bargaining eligible supervisors of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, and the Las Vegas Peace Officers Association, which are the corrections officers and sergeants employed by the city of Las Vegas. Let me start with the issue of unfairness. I don't believe PERS has standing to assert unfairness on behalf of individualized bargaining units, and there is, in fact, no unfairness. Collective bargaining is a give and take between the employer and the union, and there are certain things that a union, an employer organization, will give up in order to get other benefits. Presumably, when some of these additional holidays were negotiated, there was, I mean, I was not around back in the 1990s when this was first put into the bargaining agreements, but presumably there was some sort of quid pro quo, be it a smaller cost of living adjustment or something else. But there is nothing inherently unfair about negotiating holidays which are not legal holidays under the statute. I would note with regard to Juneteenth that the bargaining units had that holiday in their collective bargaining agreement for 2 years before the Nevada legislature formalized it. As the court has recognized, 288-152-D makes holidays a subject of mandatory collective bargaining. If holidays were limited only to...
let me just interrupt you right there. So even if it's, and I agree that you do have that power to collectively bargain for that, but does that impose a reciprocal obligation on PERS to create additional PERS eligible compensation?
Yes, okay. Because of the statute. The statute is 286.025, which defines compensation. Contributions must be made on statutorily defined compensation. What is compensation is not determined by the PERS board. It's determined by the legislature under the statute. And the legislature has included work performed on a holiday if it does not exceed the working hours of the normal work week or pay period for that employee.
Should we not defer to PERS and its definition of, I understand it's the imputation of the word implicitly of legal. I don't see that word there either. But if PERS, in its discretion, as does what it does, should we give deference to their definition of holiday to mean a legal holiday?
The answer is no, and at the risk of somebody maybe winning a bet twice, I would put the Chevron doctrine. No, they should not defer, because when the statute doesn't, not only does it not use the word legal, it doesn't say or holiday identified in NRS 236.015. It says holidays, and holidays are a subject of mandatory bargaining. If it were to be limited only to holidays under 236.015, the reference in 288.152D would be rendered entirely superfluous. If you look at the actual contribution statute, work performed on a holiday, if it does not exceed the working hours of the normal work week, the reason that qualifier is in there is that overtime is not PERS compensable. So if you work non-overtime, your regular day falls on a negotiated holiday, it meets the definition of compensation under the PERS statute, and under the PERS statute, if it meets the definition of compensation, there must be a contribution made on it.
And the overtime exclusion is statutory.
Yes, correct. As the court has pointed out, shift differential. Not all bargaining units get shift differential, and the amount of money paid for shift differential will vary by collective bargaining. At Metro, it's 6% on graveyard, 4% on swing shift. In my state bargaining unit, state corrections, it's 5% for both graveyard and swing shift. Those are collectively bargained. Holding oneself ready for duty while off duty and returning to duty is defined as compensation. That is colloquially referred to as standby pay. As I have pointed out, not everybody gets standby pay. The Police Protective Association, the rank and file officers unit, they don't get standby pay at all because they haven't bargained for it. Our captains at PMSA do not get it because it has been bargained away. Under PERS's argument, under their theory, captains would have to be paid standby pay because it's in the statute governing quote-unquote compensation, even though it has been bargained by Metro and PMSA that captains do not get the 3.25% standby pay. Base pay, which is PERS compensable, is set by bargaining. All of the additional payments which qualify and are identified by the legislature as compensation are set by collective bargaining. So are we impeding or standing on PERS's toes? No, we are not. We are asking
the argument that PERS has raised that this is a violation of the Internal Revenue Code.
I was about to.
I appreciate that there's some concern about when it was raised in the district court below, but let's just go forward assuming that it was properly raised.
Not only have they not identified any case law supporting their position, but the argument is inaccurate. They are claiming that somehow negotiating separate compensation for non-statutory holidays violates the when of holiday pay. I'm looking at page 8 of 13 of appellant's or PERS's reply brief. It does not change what a definitively determinable benefit would be. The benefit that is determined, the fixed benefit under PERS, is your 36 highest consecutive months of pay. It is a defined benefit. If you work holidays, that 36 consecutive months is going to be a little higher. If you don't work on a graveyard or a swing shift, if you work day shift patrol, it's going to be a little bit lower, but the defined contribution remains the same. The calculation remains the same. It does not violate the Internal Revenue Code. It is what I would assert the argument is a red herring, and it was a red herring that was only raised in the reply brief before the district court, so I never had a chance to point out the fact that no, the defined benefit for purposes of the Internal Revenue Plan is going to remain the same.
I'm so sorry. So how do you interpret not subject to the discretion of the employer? Because I think that's the concern, right, is that somehow by the collective bargaining process, then the employer has discretion to determine what holidays are. That's how I...
Well, the employer does not have discretion. It must be agreed to by the employer and the employee organization. And like anything else, whether the employees are going to receive shift differential, standby pay, or any of the other, it has to be bargained and agreed. And if it is bargained and agreed, then it falls within the statutory definition of compensation. And per the statute, if it meets the definition of compensation, which is what the district court found, there must be a contribution.
Is there anything to this argument? And I think if I understood it correctly, there's something unique about the uniformity of this holiday pay that applies to everyone, as opposed to the shift differentials that may apply to one or two people in an organization or, you know, different. I mean, is there any reason for us to treat those two things differently?
There is no legitimacy to that argument with due respect to my colleague here. And if you take a look at NRS 236015, it doesn't address compensation at all. The statute identifying holidays does not require that employees in any public office be paid on those holidays. Under the statute, it simply requires that offices close. for employees who do not have the benefit of collective bargaining, or for employees who have collective bargaining and perhaps not a very good negotiator, they may very well have to stay home on those days, and they'd just be an additional unpaid day off like a weekend. But the statute itself does not contain any reference to pay or require people to be paid on these legal holidays. It simply provides, in subsection 2, all state, county, and city offices, courts, public schools, and NISHI must close on the legal holidays enumerated in subsection 1 with a couple of exceptions. Well, those exceptions don't apply to the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department or the city jail, which are 24/7, 365 operations. They don't close. If there's a homicide, you don't get a message that says, this is the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, we are closed, please call us back tomorrow at 8 a.m. when we reopen. It doesn't work that way. But no, there is no requirement of uniformity because the statute setting the holidays doesn't require compensation or payment on those holidays. It simply says these are holidays and public offices will be closed, nothing more. If the legislature wanted to limit the definition of compensation to only the holidays referenced in 236.015, it is reasonable to expect that in the PERS statute, 286.025, they would have used the word legal holiday or holiday identified under NRS 236.015. They didn't. The court is correct that setting aside the collective bargaining of Juneteenth by both of these employee organizations 2 years prior to the Nevada legislature taking action with regard to the holiday, the day was appointed by the President of the United States. There was an actual proclamation made by President Biden separate and apart from the act of Congress. With regard to Columbus Day, yes, there was an exchange, and no, I have not gone back and looked at the original proclamation by Benjamin Harrison from the Harrison administration that first referenced Columbus Day, nor a subsequent proclamation by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I don't really think that issue is before the court. But as the district court determined, it is the collective bargaining relationship, and these organizations have both bargained Juneteenth before it was recognized by the Nevada legislature, and one of them bargained New Year's Eve, one of them bargained Christmas Eve, and the compensation falls squarely within the definition of compensation. Now let's turn to the issue that was not addressed, but I know was a big issue for PERS in its briefing and argument before the district court, which is the holding of this court in the State Nevada Department of Transportation, I'm going to call it NDOT for short, versus Public Employee Retirement System, where the court said that as the administrator of the system, the board is responsible for managing the retirement system and maintaining the employee retirement fund. And with that, it imposed on PERS a statutory duty to pursue contributions. That is a statutory duty that is at the heart of the association's arguments and the district court's ruling. Contrary to what is suggested in PERS's briefing, there is a fiduciary obligation imposed on PERS by virtue of the constitutional provision putting them in charge of the retirement system. And there are actual cases out of California. California has a similar constitutional provision. I think I have them right here. That have held that by virtue of such designation as being in charge of a retirement system, there is a fiduciary duty imposed. I'm looking at.
But can I just ask a quick question on that case? This one, they found that PERS was not bound by the CBA, right? Because there was some language that characterized these archaeologists as independent contractors when really they should have been designated as employees. Maybe a misunderstanding, but in that case, we held that they're not bound by the misinterpretation of the CBA,
I don't believe the CBA was involved in that case. These were state employees. The state of Nevada employees did not get collective bargaining until the 2019 legislative session. This does not involve collective bargaining or a CBA. This was just the employer's characterization of the employee, if I recall correctly.
And in any event, that case involved the characterization of employees, not the power to determine holiday.
It's
a little different, right?
It's a difference without a distinction, I believe, because the gravamen of the holding is that there is a statutory obligation to pursue contributions where contributions are required. While that case arose in an enrollment dispute, ultimately the issue is, if you are a fiduciary, like the California courts have held that their retirement boards are, and they have similar provisions to our Constitution, you have an obligation to pursue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and may it please the court, in the very minimal time that remains for me, I would direct the court's attention to the district court briefing. The reply brief was combined with a response to a counter motion for summary judgment, so there is no issue waiver. ERISA doesn't apply to PERS. It's a governmental plan. No aspect of the applicability of retirement rules can be collectively bargained. That's inherently discretionary. That's in violation of the definitely determinable benefit rule. PERS respectfully requests that the court reverse the decision of the district court. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gentlemen.